We've enjoyed having him on the air for years now. He's one of our favorite guests. Nick and I have said this forever. Tony Dungy is one of the straightest shooters. Tony Dungy's reputation walks in. It's in the door before he even physically gets in the door. But you have a different experience with him because you actually had a chance to professionally, as well as personally, have a relationship that we will never understand. Tony Dungy, the coach, who, by the way, is calling the Falcons game tomorrow night right here in the city of Atlanta, calling the game, not just doing the studio work, tomorrow evening joins us today on Thanksgiving Eve. Coach Tony, we appreciate it. How are you today, sir?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing well, thank you. And you got one of my favorite guys there. Joe, how are you?
Very good, Coach. How are you doing? How's the family?
Everybody's good. Looking forward to a great Thanksgiving. Hope you guys have one as well. And I hope the Falcons can tee up some good football for us.
Tony, so you've had a chance as a guy who's calling the game. You've had, look, I know the work that you do anyway. Going into this game, we could not figure out the seven-day stretch where the Falcons look so good for two games. It reverts back. What do you take out of the up and down over a 14-day period for this team going into this game tomorrow night?
Really, really hard to believe, Chris. I saw the Falcons at the Hall of Fame game, and talking to Dan Quinn, he thought this was going to be their best team since the Super Bowl team. Everybody was excited about getting those defensive players back, and this was going to be the year. And they started out with that slow start, but the last those two games, New Orleans and Carolina, you thought, oh boy, they could get on a run here. They play all these division teams. I thought we were going to have them on a three-game winning streak, and this would be a game that could put them back in the race. And then that game against Tampa, I just did not see that coming. All the offensive line problems, the pressure on Matt, the breakdowns in the secondary, it came out of nowhere. So I don't know where it came from. We were out at practice yesterday. They feel like they're energized and ready to go, and they'll get those problems eliminated. But it was a surprise.
Coach, when you look at Matt Ryan and not being able to protect himself as far as being athletic, is that a problem going forward to utilize the weapons as far as Ridley and Julio Jones? If he doesn't have the time, then your weapons can't get utilized?
That is exactly right, and I think what they've got to do, and you saw it, we looked at that first game against New Orleans. They got some run game going early, had some unusual plays, the fly jet sweeps and getting the ball outside, but they got New Orleans off balance and got them where they had to play run, and then they were able to make some things happen in the passing game. But I don't think they're at the point where they can just ask Matt to just drop back 35, 40 times and throw the ball. They've got to have some run game to balance it out.
Tony Dungy joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Tony, I made a statement earlier. It's not about the Falcons for me tomorrow night. It's more about the New Orleans Saints in this regard. If they can't fix just a couple of weeks ago what happened, are they really the Super Bowl contender I believe them to be? Do you think there's something to how they play, fixing what ailed them from just a couple of weeks back, that will let you know that, oh, yeah, they do have every capability of being in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, a month ago, I thought they were the best team in football. I thought their defense was playing outstanding. Their front people were dominating. And then up front on offense, they had that balance. They were running Kamara and Latavius Murray, throwing the ball all over the place. Drew had just gotten back. He was very sharp. But the Falcons rushed them with four guys and got pressure, and they weren't able to run. Andres Pete went out at left guard. And now Armstead's out at left tackle. So how are they going to fix that? Are they going to be able to protect on their left side? Are they going to be able to continue to run the ball well and have that balance? That's what I'm looking for to see what the Saints' offense really looks like tomorrow.
Coach, everybody talks about the passing attack in the NFL from a few years back. But to me, it looks like it's going back to old school football with the cream of the crop. They're going to be having a fullback that can do a lot of different things. Do you see a switch in to where now I'm taking advantage of smaller type linebackers that more teams are trying to put in a fullback and really come downhill like old school?
Well, I think everybody is looking at, hey, this is a passing league, so you have to stop the pass. And everybody's drafting these defensive linemen and got these fast linebackers and that type of thing. If you look at the teams that have success and get to the Super Bowl, they're balanced. Atlanta was running the ball like crazy in their Super Bowl year. And you had those backs, Coleman and Freeman, that set the tone. People forget about that. Yes, they threw the ball and they scored, but they ran the football. And if you can't do that now, we saw San Francisco the other night. That defensive front, if you think you're just going to drop back and throw the ball against those guys, even if you have Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be tough. You better be able to slow those people down and run the football and be balanced and have them guessing whether you're going to throw or run. I just don't think you can win without being able to run the football now.
Tony, if I took quarterback the position out of it, I don't know if I've ever asked you. I'm always curious with guys who coach and guys who watch, what would be the next position? If everybody's available on the playground, I'm not looking for the individual guy, but if I told you, you get a chance, quarterback's out, what position are you taking first other than the QB?
I'm going to get a dominant defensive rusher or somebody that's just unblockable up front. Aaron Donald comes to mind, that edge rusher that nobody can block. The Bosa boys, you know, coming into the league as high pick, second, third, fourth pick in the draft. You get that one guy who can't be blocked up front, it changes your whole team.
You mentioned Joe Hamilton's one of your favorite people. Can I ask you why?
Joe was just a leader and a fun guy to be around, but Joe was a winner. And he wasn't a starting quarterback for us. He did a lot to help our team win. The guys wanted him on the team. I wanted him on the team. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for people who make other people better. And I think Joe did that, and that's why he's always been one of my favorite guys.
Joe told a story after that Tampa team won the Super Bowl. I'm going to let him tell it because I don't know if you know this or not.
Coach, did you hear anything about, you know, talking to Brooks or John Lynch and any guys about what we did in the locker room after the Super Bowl?
I did not. No.
Well, Coach, after the ceremony on the field, as soon as we got back into the locker room, not even 45 seconds into guys just taking the shoulder pads and helmet and things off, they held the trophy up, the leaders, and you knew who they were, more mainly on defense, but everybody I can remember, held the trophy up in the middle and started yelling, Dungey, Dungey, Dungey. And I'm talking about, I'm getting chill bumps right now because I feel it and I can remember it. And then Coach John Gruden joined in their fun. Can imagine Coach Kiffin joining in the fun. And I just want to say that I know if 1,000 people have said it to you, that's what you meant to me and that team. You were a part of that whole makeup, and they really showed appreciation very, very soon after they held up the Lombardi Trophy.
Well, I thank you, Joe. No, I never heard that story. The one story I did hear that made me feel good, after the first game you guys played after I left, Derek Brooks called me and he said Coach Gruden brought everybody up, gave him the last-minute instructions, and then they were getting ready to go out on the field. And Warren Sapp said, you know, we've said for 7 years, we've said a prayer here before we went out on the field, and somebody's got to say a team prayer. And that that made my heart feel good, too, that those guys had gotten that part of it.
Last thing for me, Coach, Lamar Jackson, I know you're not going to change his style or you don't want to change his style. Anything we could say to him about his play that maybe for longevity or what he's doing right now and being slippery and knowing how to take a hit is just fine in your eyesight?
Been dynamic. He's been outstanding. He's been exciting. I don't want to change him at all. But what I would tell him and what I would advise him, look at Russell Wilson and make those crazy plays, make those dynamic plays. But there's going to come a time every play, you don't have to eke out the last 5 yards. It's okay to run out of bounds. It's okay to slide. If you're going to carry the ball 100 times, 120 times during the year, take 20 hits. Don't take 100 hits. And, yeah, there's going to be plays when you have to lay out. You've got to dive. You've got to go for that first down. But save those hits. As many as you can save, that's going to help you be on the field when we need you in December and January.
Do you think – sometimes I think it's not only the will or the want to get the extra 3 yards, but I do think probably at that position more than any in sport, I want my guys to respect me. I want them to know that I'm willing to do it.
That's what he feels. And you know what? If I'm – those running backs, if I'm those offensive linemen, I would tell him, hey, Lamar, we know what's in your heart. Don't show us that. You don't need to prove that to us. Give what you can. And there's times when, hey, you're going to make a guy miss in the open field and we're going to say, wow, that's great. But when you get 2 and 3 guys around you, hey, there's a time to go down. Just be smart. We need you in January.
Hey, Tony, what was the scouting report on you coming out? The reason I ask, you mentioned Joe, not a starter, but he's one of your favorite people. I've always believed that coaches love the non-superstar every bit as much as the superstar? I know the importance of the team might be different on game day, but were you a guy – I don't know what your scouting report was. I know you played in the league, and I know the talent that you were around when you played in the league, but do coaches really appreciate that guy, the Joel Hamilton guy, more than we ever hear about?
Absolutely. You know, I came to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was a quarterback in college. I switched to safety. I was a backup. I backed up every position in the secondary. I carried the projectors back then. We didn't have tablets. We had 16-millimeter projectors. I carried them to the meeting. I, you know, helped the guys on the sideline, did everything I could. And Coach Noel hired me as an assistant coach when I was 25 years old because he felt like I helped other guys be better. And that was my job, and that's what I enjoyed, and that's why I admire people like Joe who make people better.
What about that hiring process? Were you aware of that when you actually started to hire, when you actually were in a position to hire?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're looking for guys who can communicate, who can teach, guys who are positive, guys who are upbeat. My first staff in Tampa was Herm Edwards, Lovie Smith, Monty Kiffin, Rod Marinelli. Then it was Mike Tomlin, and young guys who were excited to come to work. But more than anything, they looked at teaching other people and helping players be better. They looked at it as not just their job, but what they wanted to do. They were passionate about it. And, yeah, I always loved having those kind of guys on my staff.
And, Coach, I anticipate some job openings open this offseason just around the league, like it happens every year. Do head coaches actually view and look at the rosters and the best situations and management and owners? Are all those things a factor of actually when you're a head coach trying to find a job, especially a first-year job, a first-time head coaching job?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Joe, I didn't look at players on the roster necessarily, but you look at management and you look at ownership and what kind of backing are you going to get? How stable is it? And that is so, so important. If you get where – you know, a place like Pittsburgh, where you know you're going to get the support, you know you're going to get backing, you know they're going to do things the right way, that makes all the difference in the world. Then if you put a talented roster with it, my year when I got the job in Tampa, they hadn't won in 13 years, but I saw how they drafted, mm-hmm. and we played against them, and Sapp was there, and Brooks was there, and Lynch was there, and they had some offensive linemen, Paul Gruber and Tony Mayberry, that were Pro Bowl offensive linemen. So you said, yeah, there is some talent there. But more than anything, I felt like Rich McKay, the GM, had the same philosophy I did about people and putting together solid teams with good people. And I felt like I could work with them, and that was going to be a good spot for me. So I think that's what coaches are looking for, that front office and that management and ownership that's going to give them a chance.
Tony, last thing, they're putting out the top 100 NFL team of all time. I think the right honor went to Jim Brown before they named anybody else. I know they're doing it by position, but Jim Brown was named, and then the other running backs were named. Are you looking forward to, like, do you follow this? I know you certainly played with some guys who were going to be on this all-time list. How much
I actually was on the panel. I voted. I don't know the results yet, but I was part of the panel that voted, and it was fascinating. It was a tougher job than you think because you're comparing guys that – maybe you played with or mm-hmm. guys that you coached, and then you're trying to compare them with guys you never saw play. And you just maybe can get a little video, but you read the stats, you hear about them. And it was a tough process, I'll tell you.
Did you enjoy it?
I did very much so, learning about some of the guys mm-hmm. who my dad used to talk about, guys who played before I was playing. But I'll give you a for instance, we're talking about defensive backs, and I played with Mel Blount. I coached Rod Woodson. And so I had some familiarity there, and I could read them and talk about them. Night Train Lane, I was 5 years old watching it as a little kid. And then Emlyn Tunnell, another great defensive back. My dad talked about him, but I never saw him play. So how do you balance those guys with guys that you know about? It was not easy.
Well, that showed a lot of respect, by the way, by asking you to be on the panel. Can I ask some of the other names? And was Belichick on this?
Yes, he was, and he was fantastic. Loves the research, loves to talk about the older players, and he was great. Bill Polian, you know, Peter King, some of the longtime writers. It was great back and forth. We'd have conference calls, and everybody would kind of weigh in. But I'll tell you, there weren't many people that didn't vote for Jim Brown as the number one guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the ultimate respect to me. Jim Brown was paid the ultimate respect before they did anything else. The other 99, we're going to get you. We're going to put Jim Brown out here first. Yeah. All right, Tony, listen, have a great call tomorrow night. I hope the building becomes a little bit electric because the Falcons are in the football game. I hope whatever energy that the building can bring up and juice up, I hope you guys feel it when you're doing the game tomorrow night.
Thank you very much. Great to be in Atlanta and nice to be on the show.
Happy Thanksgiving, Coach.
Thank you. You too, Joe.
All right, Tony, thanks very much. All right, there he is, Tony Dungy. We both looked at each other. I didn't realize he was on that panel. What an honor.
Yeah, he deserves it.
When you coach Rod Woodson, I'm assuming you stand up and go, Rod Woodson's on this team. I don't know where you people are going to put him, but Rod Woodson's on this team.
Man, what about all the greats he touched?
Joe Green. Think about what he was around just in Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
And then the guys he coached a couple in Tampa.